Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The guys on the big show have been going at it for 3 hours, but they haven't crashed and burned. Yet.
Well, it's the big show.
It's time to reset today's big topics and let you pick a lane. Brought to you by the legendary Great Lakes Dragway in Union Grove. Open Tuesdays through Fridays and weekends through October. For more info, just go to GreatLakesDragway.com.
Wendy's Big Show on 105.7 FM, The Fan, 1250 AM, and the FreeRadio.com app. I'm Bill Schmidt, baby Tausch, live up in Green Bay, Wisconsin. It's Monday Night Football at the Frozen Tundra. Not yet frozen, but it's going to get close. It's weather about to be in the mid to upper 30s for kickoff tonight. Packers and Lions from the most historic stadium in the NFL and one of the oldest rivalries in all of pro football. Did you know that these two teams have been playing longer than the Chicago Bears and the Green Bay Packers? How about that little nugget for you as we start up Great Lakes Dragway Pick a Lane on 105.7 FM, The Fan. These two teams have a lot of history, and also there's a little bit more history to be played out in the sense of Steve Sparky Pfeiffer back in our Hales Corner studios. The Packers haven't beaten this team in a few years. Four straight meetings have been won by the Detroit Lions, and Matthew Stafford trying to exercise those demons of road victories over winning teams tonight.
I'm interested to see how this goes. That Cowboys game happened, and I was warning everybody going into there that I wasn't sold on the Cowboys because they hadn't beaten anybody. Lions have beaten the Eagles, so they have that. The Packers don't have that necessarily on their resume. But outside of that, I don't really look at their schedule and go, boy, a bunch of signature wins. They tied the Cardinals, for God's sakes, in a game that they tried every which way to lose in week one of the football season. They tried over and over again to lose that football game and ended up in a tie. Matt Patricia, again, going from being a complete buffoon last year as a head coach, now all of a sudden, well, now Matt Patricia's all that in a bag of chips in Detroit. Okay, fine. We'll see how this all plays out tonight. Maybe I'm underestimating how good the Detroit Lions are. I think the Green Bay Packers get off to an early lead in this game and make Matthew Stafford and that Lions offense have to throw to get back into the game. I think that's how this ends up. And if that's how this does end up, if Packers get out to a 14-0 lead or something like that, I think it's curtains for the Detroit Lions.
Now, we've seen this Packer team get out to that start, Spark, in the last couple of weeks.
Yep.
And I compared the Packers offense in the beginning of the game to like a budding relationship, like college sweethearts, high school sweethearts, where it's amazing and, oh, I just want to be around you all the time and everything's great. And then you fast forward into the third quarter and it's like you've been married for 25 years and all you want to do is go bowling on Tuesday nights to be able to get out of the house and get yourself a little bit of reprieve from everything that's going on. They are a tale of two half team. And to be able to do that against the Dallas Cowboys, they built up enough of a stock in that first half that the good third and fourth quarter from Dak Prescott just wasn't enough. In tonight's game, they need to get out to that start because it'll keep, for me, it keeps my concern off of Kerryon Johnson just taking the football and running it down your throats to what you've seen a lot of teams have success against this Packer team doing of we're going to establish the ground game and we're going to rely on it. They got out to a lead against the Philadelphia Eagles, but the Eagles maintained what they needed to do when they went into the game saying we need to run it against these guys because it will open up the rest of the game plan. If Matt Patricia and Daryl Bevel can do that tonight, I think it's going to be a little bit closer than some of us are thinking.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe it will be closer. But you don't fear them losing this football game, do you? I mean, baby Tosh, you're not going into this going, well, maybe they lose to the Lions tonight.
I did my prediction with my man Roscoe at the Milwaukee Admirals home opener on Saturday for the Bart Winkler extravaganza, and I think I said
Bart Winkler 30... was at the Admirals game?
No, the Bart Winkler prediction extravaganza that he has every weekend. And I know how much he loves that. So I said 31-14 during that. Then I'm looking at all these experts coming out of the desert, and I'm looking at the number, and all of a sudden I'm like, wait, did I just get the Packers giving 3.5? They opened as 6-point favorites at one point today. So there's enough optimism around the league because of the bye week game planning strategy for the Lions that I think they keep it closer than I originally thought. And I just can't get the vision of Miles Sanders and Jordan Howard running it down your throats in primetime a couple of weeks ago when you didn't have Devontae Adams late in the game. How are you scoring in the red zone and converting on third downs? I think the offense is good enough to score in the red zone tonight and be able to match the Lions in that sense. But they got to be better on third down than they've been, just over 25% in this year. Because if they don't do that, that allows Kerryon Johnson to try to extend drives and keep Aaron Rodgers off the football field. And they're going to be – it's a dangerous proposition if you allow the Lions to win the time of possession battle, because it means they're running the ball exactly how they're supposed to.
If you're Mike Pettine, the defensive coordinator for the Green Bay Packers, and you're game planning for this game, Monday Night Football, Packers and the Lions, the whole country is watching. Are you coming into this game saying to yourself, in order for us to win, we have to stop the ground game? Or are you coming in preparing to have to slow down Matt Stafford?
I'm preparing to stop the run game because I know if I'm the Green Bay Packers, I know I got the better quarterback. So if we got to get into a shootout, I'll trust my dude over their guy because my guy's going to take care of the football, and we'll win the turnover battle if it's quarterback for quarterback, mano a mano, go out there and each throw the ball 45 times. But I think if you control the game and you control the pace of it on the ground and do what you want as a defensive-minded head coach, keep that guy off the football field. I don't know. I see that being the way the Lions muddy up the game tonight and make it the defensive slugfest that you're going to need, and we'll see if the Packers can then run the ball enough to beat them in that strategy, because they beat the Cowboys, yes, with Aaron Jones's legs, but in a flashy style way of doing it, outside zone, outside run, flip the ball to him on a little quick screen pass and get the ball in my playmaker's hands on the outside.
And that's how they should approach the Detroit Lions game in the exact same fashion. They're not going to, but that's what they should do. And instead, like we talked about earlier, I think Aaron Rodgers gets to slinging it again like he did in that Eagles game. And he's going to throw for a ton of yards. And I don't think Detroit can keep up with him against this Packers defense. I don't. When you look at the Cowboys in that game, there's a certain part of me that thinks the Packers kind of took their foot off the pedal a little bit on the defensive side of the ball. And that's how the Cowboys got back into it. And in this game here against the Detroit Lions, I just think if they get out to an early lead, Lions are in trouble. Now, I'll say it the other way. If the Detroit Lions get out to a quick 14-0 lead, I think the Packers could be in trouble too. And for both of these teams, I think you want to keep it close, because I just don't know if either offense right now is capable of trying to get themselves back into it if they find themselves in an early hole.
Yeah, that's the right lane. You're confident, concerned, and curious. It's a Packer game day as they get ready for the Detroit Lions tonight at Lambeau Field in the center lane. What did Week 6 in the NFC teach you about the Green Bay Packers, Sparky? You saw the Seattle Seahawks continue to play great ball and go beat a team on the road in the Cleveland Browns, who have more question marks than a math test. You look at the San Francisco 49ers, are they for real, or are the LA Rams as bad as maybe they look, especially without Todd Gurley? And also, that Dallas Cowboy victory maybe looks a little bit not as impressive because they just went and lost to mono-stricken Sam Darnold and the New York Jets yesterday. What did Week 6 in the NFC teach you about the Packers and the importance about getting a win tonight against the Lions?
That one seed is right there for the taking, folks. It's right there. Cowboys, Gary Ellerson's pick to go to the Super Bowl from the NFC. They're clearly not that team, for sure. Philadelphia is not that team either at this point. The Minnesota Vikings, sorry, not going there with Kirk Cousins at quarterback, so I'm not getting involved in that discussion. The Bears are definitely not involved in that discussion either. I'm not sold on the Detroit Lions. There's a couple of teams that concern me. The New Orleans Saints doing what they're doing without Drew Brees with Teddy Bridgewater should be a red flag for everybody that when Drew Brees comes back, that team's going to be really, really good. That's a problem as far as getting that one seed in the NFC. And the other issue I see is Seattle because Russell Wilson is playing out of his mind right now without Daryl Bevel on that coaching staff who is now in Detroit with Matt Stafford. So those are the two teams I concern me about getting a one seed. Seattle and obviously New Orleans, both in different divisions than the Green Bay Packers. But outside of that, the rest of this side, including the Niners, don't really worry me.
I would agree with you on the Saints, and we had Ryan Wood, our Green and Gold insider, in here earlier today up at our WNFL studios where I'm broadcasting the show from today before Packers and Lions, of nobody in their right mind wants to go and face the New Orleans Saints in the Dome. Nobody knows worse how good that team can be in that Dome than the Green Bay Packers because they haven't been able to go down there and get a win in, I think it's 15 years, I want to say, because they went down there and got embarrassed a couple of years ago on Sunday Night Football, and that was when they had Eddie Lacy at the peak of his performance. So, like, for you to go in there and get a win against Sean Payton and Drew Brees in the playoffs, the one seed is, I think, maybe even more important this year because of, you're right, just how good that defensive line and how good that New Orleans Saints bunch looks. Like, if they're able to pin their ears back at their home place, look out for anybody else. Look out for everybody in that sense.
Let me ask you this. On the other side, where you have the Patriots, besides New England, who else is concerning to you on the other side? Because KC and Patrick Mahomes, they look beatable. They look beatable, right? Now, Baltimore appears to be the team that's going to probably win that division with all the injuries Pittsburgh has. Baltimore doesn't really scare me all that much. Lamar Jackson played well, but I'm not really all that concerned about Baltimore on that side. I mean, it's really just New England at this point. San Diego's been horrible, so they're not a team. Raiders, Denver, no, across the board there. I mean, it's really the Patriots. Right?
Yeah, it's the Patriots, and the reason why I don't want to say the Houston Texans is because I cannot see Deshaun Watson being able to stand up for the whole 16 games because they just don't protect him well enough, Sparky. They allow him to be out on an island and get dinged up way too easily. I want him to be able to go for a full 16 weeks, but I just don't see it happening there. And Kansas City's defense, it's to be had too much. And if you're able to just try to line up and outscore people like we've seen so many different teams, especially in Green Bay, Wisconsin in the last decade and a half do, you need to have a defense that you can count on to get you 4 to 5 stops a game. And I just don't see that out of that Kansas City team. I will say this about the New England Patriots, though, and I want to know what you think of this. That defense is good. It's very good. It's top five. But is it this historic defense that is putting up all these turnover numbers that are going to just blow everybody out of the water? I don't believe their defense is as crazy good as it's shown here in the early going of the season. Look at who they've played. The Steelers, which was one of the ugliest performances I've ever seen out of any football team ever when they got dismantled on Sunday Night Football to open the year. The Miami Dolphins, who are telling people that they're trying to lose.
Oh, can we
the
New York please Jets, talk about
who didn't
that
have
game?
Their starting quarterback. Yeah, they're in a group that is just they get to beat up on awful football teams, and they'll do it again, and they'll play the Jets again this week.
That Dolphins game, that ending of that Dolphins game, what in the world? Listen. And we didn't
Tank for two of 2019.
Right, we didn't get a chance to get to it, but at some point we have to talk about whether or not tanking in this league is going to become a thing or not, like it is in the NBA. Because the Dolphins get all the way down their score, they kick the extra point, this game goes to overtime, and again, it's the toilet bowl, right? It's two crappy teams playing. So now you sit there and go, I'm going to go for two, and I'll be honest with you, I was like, good for you. You're at home. You should go for two, right? Go for two. Beautiful idea. Go for the win. What do you have to lose at this point? You called a screen pass on a 2-point conversion? Like, has that ever been called in, In the history of the NFL, the two-point conversion, has anybody ever called a screen pass on a two-point conversion?
Even worse, Sparky, they ran a wide receiver tunnel screen.
Yes.
On a tight bunch formation on the hash mark. Like, if you're going to call a tunnel screen, you allow that to get as much space as possible all the way out to the numbers and give your dude a little bit of room to play with. If they get it to Kenyon Drake and they actually complete the pass, where was he moving?
He wasn't.
He didn't know where to go.
He was going to get drilled. He was going to get drilled. And I'll tell you, 100%. I got to tell you a quick story. So I was listening this morning to some national radio, and I was listening to Charlie Weiss. And Charlie Weiss apparently lives down in the Miami area, and he said it is so bad down there that they were taking a poll of people going into that game last Sunday, and he said it wasn't close. All these Dolphins fans wanted them to lose that game. Nobody wanted them to win that game. They want to in the worst way, he said. So really, from a Dolphins perspective, you're happy because the fan base got excited because it was a close game. You had their interest all the way through. People were thinking, okay, we're going the right direction. We're going the right direction. And then it got to that point, you're like, oh, no, don't win, though. I mean, this is fun, but don't win. And then your coaching staff helps him out and says, you know what? Don't worry, guys. We got this. We're not going to blow it for you. We'll call a screen pass, and we'll make sure everybody stays happy with us. But that is exactly what's happening. You have an entire fan base down there rooting for them to lose. And I get it. Been there as a Bucs fan, right? Been there as a Bucs fan. You had Odin coming out. You had Durant coming out. We were on the postgame show not wanting that team to win basketball games, going, please, God, please, let us just be in the top three because Al Horford was in that draft. I'm like, oh, this is perfect. They were the third worst team in the NBA that year. And wouldn't you know, up until that point, up until that lottery, it had never happened in the history of the NBA where the three worst teams, not one of them, ended up in the top three after the lottery was done. It was the first time it's ever happened in NBA history. So the Bucks, instead of getting Al Horford at three, which would have been the pick, ended up with E. Gianleon at their pick at six instead. You want to talk about screwing up franchise history? That did it.
Yeah, that did it. That really did it. That was the bug. That was it. That was
you would have had Al Horford.
That was the dagger.
You would have had Al Horford next to Andrew Bogut. That would have been your front line. They would have been a perennial playoff team had that happened.
Finally had gotten the senator to buy in and be like, okay, I got it, guys. You're right. Let's go and get one of these top dudes and change our organization forever.
You would have had Horford and Bogut. Horford and Bogut side by side with Michael Redd. You could have had somewhat of a big three to compete in the East.
Well, and just don't even get me started on the Bucks draft woes, because I still firmly believe, given health, TJ Ford may have outlasted Chris Paul in this league. If you're going to talk about just with the top point
talking.
Guards in that round, if
stop
he
talking.
Would not have if he would not have broke that stop. Back, he would have been able to outlast Chris
stop.
Paul in this league.
Stop. Yeah, TJ Ford is not even in the same realm of Chris Paul.
Yeah, because he couldn't walk after like 4 years in the league.
And he couldn't shoot.
He shattered his back.
He couldn't shoot. He dribbled in circles. TJ Ford, get out of here. Larry Harris came in here one time, the old Bucks general manager. We used to do the Pro Hoop show. It was me and then the general manager of the team, Larry Harris.
Yes.
And he would come into the studio, our old studio, the Hot Box, as we used to call it. He'd come into the studio, and he'd always be trying to win me over, right? And me and Larry are friends. He'd come in, and he came in, and that was when they were at purple jerseys. And came in, he said, Spark, we're on the air, right? He comes in, he's like, Spark, dude, I got some wristbands for you, man. Right? And it said TJ Ford, like wristbands, are going to give them as handouts to the game or whatever else. I said, hey, Larry, you forgot the word brick on the other side of these wristbands or whatever.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is just mean. You know what? You're mean. You're mean.
Used to be a lot meaner than I am now. Now I'm just a teddy bear.
That's right. Now you can go and hang out with that big old teddy bear.
Yeah, that's right.
The Mecca.
That's right. Come hang out with the teddy bear, Sparky. Yeah, tonight.
Back in the day, you would have been ripping over all those Jack Daniels spots they have at the Fear District. You have softened up.
Oh, man. Football Experience Party at the Mecca Sports Bar and Grill tonight in the Fear District. Now, tonight, not necessarily the Fear District. This goes Thursday through Sunday. Three haunted houses, all kinds of fun stuff. The Jack Daniel kiosks all over the place to party with Thursday through Sunday. Tonight, it's all about the Mecca Sports Bar and Grill, though. Miller Lite provides the prizes for trivia questions throughout the game. I'll be asking him throughout the game. My guy Peanut Gallery, he hops in and tries to help everybody win prizes. Plus, we have our tic-tac-toe cards. If you win tic-tac-toe, you're eligible for our grand prizes at the end of the game, courtesy of Waukesha Sports Cards. My guy Rob. So hooked up us up this week with a big Kenny Clark signed picture. Plus, we have a Mason Crosby signed football jersey to give away tonight, too. Don't forget, you can reserve your seats ahead of time. Now, we're only a couple hours away from kickoff here, so might still be time for you, though, if you call over the Mecca Sports Bar and Grill to get your reservations in. Luxury boxes, that's the third floor, big booths. Some of them have private TVs, fit 6 to 8 people. Beautiful. Mezzanine sitting on the second level. Best seats in the house, in my opinion, looking at the big wall of TVs. The food, the menu created by a team of talented chefs to elevate Sports Bar Fare to a whole new level. They are the place to watch sports in Milwaukee, the Mecca Sports Bar and Grill, located in the new Pfizer Forum Entertainment District. They have recreated the live in-game experience with state-of-the-art audio-visual equipment. They'll make you feel like you are there. Centerpiece of the experience, a 42-foot-wide ultra-high-definition screen TV surrounded by 9 other big screens. They have spotlights, lasers, CO2 cannons. They got everything. Bucks, DJ's in the booth running the whole thing. My guy, New Styles, doing his thing, and Julia helping out as well. Located in the Deer District across from Pfizer Forum. Check them out at themeccamke.com. Themeccamke.com. Call ahead. Reserve your table. 414-908-0401. 414-908-0401.
It's Great Lakes Dragway. Pick a lane. We'll hear from the Smiths, Preston, and Zadarius in about 15 minutes. But some just desserts in the NFL that is just too good to not talk about. We got that next. Wendy's Big Show on the Fan. Going to hear from Preston and Zadarius Smith here in about 10 minutes from right now. Wendy's Big Show, 105.7 FM, The Fan. 1250 AM in the freeradio.com app. I'm Bill Schmidt, baby Tausch. Up here in Green Bay at our WNFL studios, Steve Sparky Pfeiffer here as well. He's going to be at the Mecca tonight partying with you, Packers and Lions, on Monday Night Football. Hey, Sparky, you could have a new guest at your Mecca party tonight. Somebody might want to take in Monday Night Football, you know, and hang out with some regular folks, or maybe who he thinks could be the weakest link. Zach Brown, linebacker for the Philadelphia Eagles.
No, he'll be at youngexpress.com looking for a gig. He won't be too busy trying to find a gig right now. He won't be coming down there.
That is amazing. So give you some context on who we're talking about. Zach Brown, inside linebacker for the Philadelphia Eagles, went to Michigan State, played football with Kirk Cousins in Washington, and earlier last week said that Kirk Cousins was the, quote, weakest link on the Minnesota Vikings offense. Kirk Cousins then goes out for 4 touchdowns against the Eagles this week. Asked about his comments about Kirk Cousins and how he played yesterday. He goes, anybody got a question that's not about Kirk Cousins?
Nope.
Yeah, actually, Jeffrey Lurie had a question for you. He was wondering if you wanted to go and meet with him and Howie Roseman.
See you. Bye-bye.
Yeah,
listen,
sure.
That Philadelphia Eagles team, they're going to be active, I bet you, here in the next couple weeks, the trade deadline. I mean, that is 100%. A team that needs a Patrick Peterson to go play for them in Philadelphia. They've got, what, I think $26 million in cap space or something like that. They've got draft picks.
They got a lot of money.
They can sit there and make a couple significant moves to try and figure out that defense a little bit more and improve that to give Carson Wentz and that offense more of a chance to win football games, because that's really what they need. They need some help in the secondary.
Well, and that was the thing. When I first thought about the Eagles, I was imagining that being an absolutely perfect landing spot for Melvin Gordon when he was in his holdout. But then the Chargers were so steadfast in saying, no, we are not going to trade Melvin Gordon for anything. And it ends up being an awful business decision because you don't cash in and you don't want to pay the guy. So then you just lose him for anything in free agency. This, you have a guy that you didn't want in your locker room anymore after he does that move. And the Eagles are that brash of an organization to say, you know what, dude? Kick rocks. We're done. We don't need to deal with this anymore. But we will go out and improve our team. I think you're right, Sparky. They are going to be a team that is going at the upper echelon of those free agents that are going to be available, or those rental guys that we're now seeing actually take shape and have value at the NFL trade deadline. It makes it a lot more fun after week 8.
It does. And I've always had issue with the trade deadline the way it is. I think it's way too early. This trade deadline should be right before, say, week 12, week 13. Let this thing play out a little bit longer before you force everybody's hand. Baseball, you play 4 of the 6 months before you get to the trade deadline. Mm-hmm. In football, you play 2 months, and you're making the move at that point. So, about half the season. I'd rather it be three quarters of the season and give these guys a little bit more time to make moves, because injuries are going to occur throughout the season. You know that's going to happen. For instance, sure. Melvin Gordon, you brought up. If I'm San Diego, I'm trading Melvin Gordon. If I'm shopping him actively right now, because doesn't look like they're going anywhere. So you might as well get what you can get for Melvin Gordon draft pick wise and see if you can improve your status going into the draft.
It's made no sense to me ever since I began watching the NFL, and that you have assets that teams desperately need. I feel like bodies are more valuable in pro football than really in any other sport. Like the NBA trade deadline, sure, you're stocking up on your role players, and you'll be able to go and grab a couple of guys that maybe play 15 to 20 minutes for you at max. In the MLB, you're getting what are you usually picking up? Your bullpen guys, maybe one bench hitter off the scrap, but then there's the one or two big name dudes that are being counted on to be significant players. In the NFL, you never allowed teams to do that and decide when they're done, because you're right, you have to decide after like week 8. If you're the Green Bay Packers, you haven't even had your bye week yet to address where you're at. Like, if you do it after everyone's bye week, I think that makes a lot more sense, and it does make it more of that push towards the playoffs. But if you're the Packers and you're able to get a guy in here and then you have your bye week, well, then it's all gravy, because then you have a week to get the dude caught up and then go out and play for you. I agree. I think the Eagles are definitely going to be one of those teams that are going to be interested at that trade deadline. But Zach Brown is an interesting player, because he was talking a lot of stuff in that Packers-Eagles game a couple of weeks ago up at Lambeau. But the Packers need help stopping the run. Maybe that's somebody that they come and give one of these tryouts to, because apparently they're bringing Tim Williams in, and they really like him because they liked him coming out of the draft 2 years ago when these guys were in Baltimore, and trying to maybe make him an inside linebacker. Here you got a dude that's played inside linebacker multiple times in the league.
Yeah, it'll be fun to see how active the Packers themselves are. Now, you're talking about just picking him up as a free agent or through the waiver process.
Trade, there's no compensation that you have to give. Just give the dude whatever his extra $789,000 for the rest of the year.
But the fun thing is about this is, man, I'm telling you, Gutekunst might himself find himself active in this deal before it's all said and done. He has shown that he is fine making trades. Demaryius Randall, it's been real. See you later. Randall Cobb, bye-bye. I mean, he's... not Randall Cobb, Ty Montgomery. He's willing to make moves and not be scared of anything. He might be a guy that might add something to this football team at that trade deadline and shock some people.
He just might, and you're right. This is the opportunity that they have to improve a team that at this moment might be better than anybody could have imagined they would be. We're going to hear from two reasons why coming up next. Preston and Za'Darius Smith. Stevie, up here in Green Bay, saw a lot of 55s and
really?
A bunch of 91s. I've seen a bunch 91s? Of
91s? No.
And I saw a lot of 91s.
Nobody's buying Preston Smith stuff. Get out of here.
Dude, it was crazy. My buddy Jake and I, we were going to the game tonight. He's actually sleeping, getting ready. That's nice. I wonder what that's like. So he's getting ready, and we're joking around. He's like, you know, I've always wanted to get a Preston or a Za'Darius Smith jersey, and you know, my girlfriend doesn't really care. Maybe I'll get her a Preston Smith, and we could be the Smiths. And literally,
that's
as
cheesy.
He says it, we're driving down Holmgren Way, and look off to the side. Not a couple, just two dudes walking down. One of them had a 12-pack of beer in his arm. One was wearing a 91, and one was wearing a 55. It was just like cut out in paper. It was hilarious.
You think they planned it together too?
Oh, of course they did. You know those guys. Well, we used to split the tickets back when my parents used to.
Oh, they were older dudes?
No, they were like mid-30s, but I just imagine that's what they talk like.
Yeah.
Is that mean of me? Should I?
Yeah, it is, because one day you're going to be there, Sunshine.
Oh, man. It's the 5 o'clock.
30's not old.
No, it really isn't, and I'm only 25, and I'm knocking on the door. 5 o'clock Steakhouse Green and Gold postgame show tonight live from Hinterland up here in Green Bay with Gary Ellerson and Bill Michaels, the big unit. Then it's Green and Gold OT with Joe Zenzola from midnight to 1 a.m. here on The Fan, and we'll break this all down tomorrow starting at 2, and we'll be joined by our incumbent Green Bay Packer, David Bakhtiari. He stops by tomorrow at 4:35.
I'm looking forward. Maybe more story time with Bakhtiari this week like last week. That would be good.
Hopefully he doesn't have a holding penalty, and that's not why we have to ask him about it. But hey, everybody got a kick out of it down in Dallas.
I didn't say it. You did.
Za'Darius Smith and Preston Smith coming up next. Wendy's Big Show on The Fan. Sunday's Big Show on The Fan, 105.7 FM, 1250 AM, and the freeradio.com app. Free is the key word there. On Monday, or this last week, I was telling you all about Friday. It was a free beer Friday. And my man Rob told me that everybody that went to Total Wine and More in Brookfield and in Greenfield last week had a great time. And everybody was like, man, this is what Baby Tausch has been talking about. This is what Boverding Bill has been talking about. This is what all natural beer tastes like. It's amazing. And then everybody went and bought like 15 different six packs and were like, yeah, we're drinking in the Boff the rest of this football season. And that's exactly what I'm going to do once I get out of here. I'm going to drink in the Boff and encourage you to as well during this football season. Boverding beer, guys, 100% natural, made with three all-natural ingredients, the fresh spring water, the finest barley, and the choicest hops. You're going to find. That's it. No additives, no artificial flavors, just beer made the way it was meant to be made. You'll notice the difference that superior ingredients make immediately, whether you're enjoying the crisp Pilsner, it's the smooth triple ale at 8% alcohol by volume, who one person tweeted at me this week and said, Boverding and Badgers. And I was like, bro, you're drinking the triple ale. You're going to really enjoy the third and fourth quarters. And I think he did because I didn't hear from him again. The perfectly balanced Bruin at 7.2. Boverding's 100% natural ingredients and commitment to quality of all of its brews. They give you the full flavor with a crisp, clean finish. Don't just take my word for it. Go test it out. Total Wine and More, consumer beverage, or any Fox Brothers Piggly Wiggly locations. Or you can enjoy a fresh tap at Cafe Hollander, Cafe Benelux, Nomad, and Sport Club. And when you're doing that, let me know at Bill Schmidt Radio, and I'll come out and have a Boverding on you. It's Boverding 100% natural, and go all natural with us drinking the Boff this football season. Two guys that are really giving us a lot to enjoy during this football season, Preston and Zadarius Smith. They talk about the keys to getting a win in division, the third one of the year, tonight on Monday Night Football. Okay, that sounds like a really, really easy philosophy to get behind of making sure that you're having fun going to work. And yes, all these guys have fun. They're playing in the NFL, no doubt about it. But there's a difference between having fun at work and having productive fun. It feels like every single time these guys are in front of a microphone, they're pointing out the facts that the fun is being had with guys doing some of the dull tasks that you do. Guys, watching film is not all that fun. But when you're doing it with guys that you enjoy being with and teammates that you like, it makes it a lot better. And I think that's the one thing that Preston and Zadarius Smith have brought to this team, that they are now, they're trying to be leaders in the form of, we'll do the stuff that nobody else wants to see done, but we know needs to be done for us to have a lot of success. I think that's the cool part about Preston and Zadarius Smith and their impact on this team.
It all goes back to that story we talked about before, back in preseason, after, what was it, the first real preseason game or whatever. They come back at 3 in the morning, they're all watching film together. Now, how much of that, how long did that last and so forth, and Leroy kind of blew that whole thing up, really not buying into it, but that's still something you don't hear about from a year-to-year standpoint and team-to-team standpoint for the Packers, or not that many teams in general. And I was never a big fan or believer in team chemistry and really what it could do for you when I started working at the station in 2005. But over the course of time, between Leroy Butler and the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown, and Gary Ellerson and others, they've all convinced me that that team chemistry thing can overcome a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
And this Packers team definitely has it at this point.
Stevie, I was on one of the most talented teams that I've ever been a part of my first year in college, and because we didn't have the true cohesiveness across the entire 100 guys that are on the team or whatever, you get into pitfalls during the adverse times. And then the next year, being able to have all the leadership from the top down, where everybody felt like they had a voice to be able to do that and call somebody out on something that maybe wasn't right, but also congratulate and just be boisterous, be themselves, it opens up just a dangerous chemistry that can be in line with the entire team. It's really, really cool to hear that coming out of the Green Bay locker room. We're going to give our predictions next, Packers and Lions, and one more time where you can find Steve tonight. Later tonight at the Hinterland Brewery up here in Green Bay, it's the 5 o'clock Steakhouse Green and Gold post-game show with Gary Ellerson and Bill Michaels. Then it's Joe Zanzola taking your calls on Green and Gold OT. We're finishing things up here on the 12-hour pregame show for Packers and Lions on 105.7 FM The Fan. 97 FM, The Fan, 1250 AM, and the freeradio.com app. This is the Wendy's Big Show here on The Fan tonight, 5 o'clock Steakhouse Green and Gold postgame show live from Hinterland after the Packers take on the Detroit Lions. Steve Sparky Pfeiffer is going to be at the Mecca. Stevie, who's winning tonight?
Duh. Packers. I got to give you a prediction. I'll go Packers 34, Lions 17. Oh.
That works out. I'm going to go 24-20 pack. We break it down with you and David Bakhtiari tomorrow, right, starting at 2 on The Fan.
Bye. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.